stories in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good Mother Cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Catching. Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study tonight. Talking about the rapture tonight. We're going to continue on talking about it, which will encompass several other areas. Welcome this afternoon. Family, the news is increasing in intensity, and things we've talked about in the past 5 years are starting to come to light. National Police Force, a jawbone, Ethiopian jawbone, fossil pushes back human origins. Really. Majority of Americans, which we're talking here really the millennial age, the millennials support marijuana legalization. We told you it's coming. They got to make it illegal, make it look like it heals cancer and all that stuff. The government's trying to hide it from us to protect us. Right. So you want it to be legalized. Why? To be medicated. Why? So you get the munchies and drive crazy on the highway. That's why. Any questions on that? Oh, but it's for municipal purposes. Uh-huh. How many people are going to use it for municipal purposes? You're going to have a lot of psychosomatic illnesses, let me tell you. Yeah, right. Please. But the drug government's trying to kill us, and so they're trying to make it illegal. Family, everything legal, the government's trying to kill you anyway. Come on now. Gracious me alive. If I tell you you can't have something, they're counting on you wanting to have it. You got to have something good about it. Got to be something you're hiding from us. I want it anyway, not because you say we can't have it. That's how they're doing it. They want to medicate using marijuana. Uh, Oh, boy. I tell you what. And at Defiant, Alabama regains ground against gay marriage. Well, what they're doing here, you think, well, yay, Alabama, you're fighting for the Bible. No, they're not. No. They're trying to get the government to come on step in. Number two, they're heading toward seceding from the Union. I know these people, man. They're sneaky. Sneaky. We will all secede then. Watch, that's coming next. You want to make us do this? We'll secede from the Union. Blah, blah, blah. And then Kenneth Copeland says, return to Mother Church. Why? There's no such thing as Mother Church. A Mother Church doesn't exist. A church is where two or more are gathered in His name. It's not a name. It's in God's name, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a church. Man, if you got three under the apple tree, you got a church. That's it. The apple tree church. Ha! There you go. Or a peach tree, or a cherry tree, or whatever you want to call it. That's a church right there. It's not Catholic. It's not Baptist. It's not Methodist, Presbyterian, Moravian, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Charismatic, Word Faith. I mean, you got 40,000. And they're all off track. King James Bible lays it out. That's it. It's that simple. Trying to keep us all divided. Another suicide. Air Force veteran suicide sheds light on female soldiers in post-traumatic stress. Oh, it's so frustrating to try to get this across to people, and it's just, I don't know, like trying to fight a house fire with a garden hose. Everybody just covers one third of the truth. They don't cover the whole truth or the whole thing. It's irritating. But you just got to keep on spreading the gospel, spreading the truth, making sure you don't fall into it. You know, make sure you stay straight. Not easy. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and then I want to start talking about some more about the rapture, heading into the day of the Lord. The two kind of come together, actually. And we'll see where it takes us from there. You know how it goes. Head down one stream, we hit to another. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together for Bible study, Father. Thank you for the opportunity we have. As Father, we share knowledge together. We share the knowledge of the Bible. Father, we call upon the Holy Spirit to come among us. Father, I pray for my patience. Lord, give me more patience. Lord, in all kinds of situations, Lord, going on. We pray, Father, for family members. That, Lord, you'll touch their hearts and get rid of the secrets within families of Freemasons, they renounce the blood oath. The Lord, you'll touch their heart, convict them of these blood oaths they take. Father, for those in government and military, Lord, that you start bringing the truth to their heart, that, Father, they'll step away from this lie that people's living in and start to focus on the Savior coming back. But Lord, we know the evil is resided and rooted into a lot of the systems we have today. We know the attack is upon your children of all ages. And Lord, we know the attack is upon your holy word. That's the rock of ages. And Lord, we pray you guide us in the right path tonight and in our lives and use us in your service. And Father, to give us that wisdom and discernment that we can use, calm state of mind and meekness that we need to spread the gospel. Keep us humble in your kingdom, Lord, that we won't turn anyone away by our attitudes, and that we stay strong, but stay meek within the words, like Moses and Jesus said, strength in time of trouble, and calm state of mind. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I watch some of these shows, you know, like toward late at night, and I'm busy, kind of background noise, and I was watching one last night, or listening as I was working, and whatever, working, well, whatever you call it. And in it, the characters were saying, yes, but I must get my vengeance on whatever it was. Everybody's got to get their vengeance out. And I said, wow, man, these things are so mind-bending. So I gotten into how they, not so much just watching it for entertainment, as it is for teaching, how they're teaching. Teaching how they're teaching. The millennials. The X and Y, Z generations. They like training films. They're not entertainment of superheroes or cop shows or... Like there's one called Bosch. I've never watched it, but it's called B-O-S-C-H, whatever it's his name. And he says in the dialogue of the show, he says something like, in the what do you call it, the trailer thing. I'm going to get what I'm getting this world. I don't believe in the next world. I got to make good this girl world to get the bad guys or something like that. I mean, it's all subliminal of humanistic training, humanistic attitude. I'm going to make it right. Well, what happens when you get too old and you're going to retire? What are you going to do then? You're going to hire somebody else to take your place? I mean, come on now. I mean, realistically, our life here is but a vapor. But in the eternal, it's a rooted tree that'll grow through eternity. But today in the physical world, it just goes away. It just goes away. Thermodynamics, doggone it. It gets into quantum physics. See, they've mixed in philosophy and religion to take you away from the mechanics of it. When God says, I'm going to quicken you and translate you, you don't start linking that up to quantum physics. That God created the earth, molecules, particles, atoms, and all that. And that Enoch was taken. Oh, God loved him. Yeah, but what did he do? He changed his body structure. And then you start realizing, oh, he'll take those up that's dead, make them alive again, and those that's alive, he just changed their body. You start linking it up to what it really means. What God's talking about. Getting away from that ridiculous philosophy or whatever. I think marijuana and philosophy goes together. I think the only ones that made A in philosophy was those that smoked dope at night. And I don't know, maybe not. Anyway, we ended up last night talking about the indication of the last times. And we had spoken about the formation of the state of Israel in 48. Of course, that's not the real Israel of the Bible. That's when Jesus Christ takes it, and that's after Armageddon. But they have to have a place to go. So that is nearing a prophecy. The rise of other nations, the rise of the Roman Catholic, the revived Holy Roman Empire. That's the European Union. It's simple, straight out. Return of Israel to the land of in unbelief, an agnostic nation, small segment of the people are Orthodox Jews. The ecumenical movement, I've been practicing that word. That's the craziest looking word I've ever seen. There's no K in there whatsoever. I think they do this to trick Southerners. They should put an ek in there, put a K. E-K-C-U, ecumenical. No, they got to leave the K out just to confuse us Southern people. I'm going to write Daniel Webster's people and say you're discrimination. Maybe I'll hire the ACLU to go in for me. Or somebody. Anyway. Babylon the Great is a vast religious, political, commercial system. Apostate religious bodies will be revived. A merger. That's happening now. Copeland's saying all Protestants come back together with the Mother Church. Oh boy. Head toward a world super church, which will then morph into the New Age movement. Humanism. They don't know that yet. Decline of moral standards. Oh, I don't have to explain that one. Violence and civil disobedience. I don't have to explain that one either. That's pretty obvious. Then people with a form of godliness but denying his power. Heresy. Hypocritical. Form of godliness as Freemasons. Rise of the anti-Christian spirits. Manifested in the multiplication of false cults and professed to be Christian. Did you know that the Iron Mount Report, 1966, and the way to control people was to create religions?
Oh, there's no conspiracy.
Right. And it matches exactly what the Bible says. Tendency for nations to confederate along a line that approximate the lineup of the latter days. European common market, in other words, in the Treaty of Rome. What does that equal? Revival of the Roman Empire. 10 toes of iron and clay. Now you wonder, how in the world did some man of God back in 3,000-4,000 years ago, Daniel, a dream, Daniel 2, verses 32-35, interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and gave exactly the kingdoms that were to follow. And they did. And still today, that dream is live. Denial of the impending intervention of God in the affairs of the world by way of judgment. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. You can deny that if you want to, but it's coming. As I said earlier today in the broadcast. And nobody going to get a free pass. Even the ones that's dead think they're going to escape it by death. Get your bucket list. Nope. Because your bucket's going to get kicked. They go, you ever played kick the bucket? Well, God's going to do kick the bucket. For those that think they're going to get away with it, it's not going to happen. Stay straight to the end. Worldwide famine. Hostility among nations. Failure of government to maintain law and order. Suppress terrorism creates a climate for a world dictator. They create the terrorist, and then they quell it. Did you know the CIA urged rebels to assassinate their own in order to create martyrs? They have to kill their own people, then martyr them. What does a martyr do? A martyr works as asset to the cause, whatever it is. Well, what about the Christians, early Christians before the 4th century? Tried to stomp them out. Crucified them. Horrible ways. Fed them to the lions. People could watch. Blood games. Nothing more than mixed martial arts and wrestling and stuff today. Mild form of it, but not much different. It's the same purpose, actually. It's just less bloody, maybe. But as the purpose of it. However, there was a bigger purpose. That was to deter anyone that wanted to be Christian. Now, it should work, shouldn't it? I'm not going to be one. No, you want me? I ain't going down there. I'm just going to watch. Pass popcorn. Okay. Oh, did you see that? Oh, yeah. We'll come back next week? Yeah, we are. Can you imagine? Mommy, what? Look at that. Look. Oh, it's dragging. Mommy, see that? Yeah, I see it. That's not what happened. You know what happened? Well, since I got a radio program, I'll tell you what happened. The crowd started changing. Toward the last 200 or 300 years before the 4th century, the crowd started changing. Not only having sympathy, they started wanting what they had. What they had, the Christians had. Not Christianity. Hadn't even been created yet. Christianity's distractor. Christian is not about Christianity. Christian is following Jesus Christ. The crowd started changing their attitude. They started saying, we want some of that. Whatever it is that they're praising, one dies, another one comes up praising. We want that. We want that power. We want that faith. We want what they've got. So they had to stop it. Because it started changing the people in the stands. Started changing. It wasn't supposed to work like that, but it did. So they had to bring in Constantine supernaturally. So we've got to create something that's going to bring them in so we can corrupt them. And they called it Christianity. That's exactly where the Vatican came from. Because up to that point, it's nothing but pagan. Nothing but pagan. And the Christian's hidden. So, let's pretend to be Christian, and then we can corrupt their religion. And that's what happened. Constantine. 325 A.D., Nicaea, Treaty of Nicaea. And then later, the Council of Trent, and the killing began again. Later called the Inquisition. Then the Vatican funded Islam in the 9th century. To take out Jerusalem and to invade northern Africa. But they got a little high and mighty, wanted to come to Europe, and that's what the Crusades are all about. God's got a way of keeping things in balance. They're never in control. Never have been. God is always a step ahead of them. Well, we're coming to that time where now you see the end times events starting to take shape right in your front doorstep. It's going to be more so later. The governments create the terrorism problems, then they solve it. Given an air of, well, the ones that solve it must be good, but they're not. That's called a dialectic. It's how Satan works. They try to show you how powerful they are, pull you over. Worldwide television facilities will be the means by which, at the beginning, the scriptures will describe events will be seen at the same time all over the planet. But most all these events were foreseen as occurring before Christ returned to this earth. Now, so, begs the question, will Christ return at the rapture? Now, some of you already know that. Answer the question. Paul states in 1 Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God." As I mentioned before, don't confuse the trumpet of God with any of the four trumpets of the tribulation and judgment. There would be trumpet of judgments, judgment trumpets. Different. When you read the Lord Jesus Christ is seated in the heavens at the right hand of the Almighty Father, when the right moment comes, Jesus will initiate this rapture by literally and physically rising from the throne, stepping into the corridors of light, and descending into the atmosphere of the planet Earth, from which he will rise to the heavens over the Mount of Olives 2,000 years ago, the same one. It's not the angels, the Holy Spirit, but the Lord himself who is coming to draw believers into the heavens during the rapture. He will not touch down, so to speak, and it will not be some silly, ridiculous UFO, although that's going to appear. It won't be Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, they've got something set up for that. I'll talk about that next week. I think it'd be a good time to talk about Sananda and the UFO fakery that they pulled up. That'd be a good time to cover it next week. This week is Rapture and Tavistock and all that. Extraterrestrial lie is coming. The great falling away, the great deception. That's what we're talking about here. What happens? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ will rise first. I mean, take them out of the grave. Now, that's going to be weird. It's a zombie thing, isn't it? No. No, no. The bodies will be translated, brought back together. They'll be coming out of mantles if they're cremated in their little cremated boxes. Out of the tombs. Can they create something with holograms? Sure they can. To try to fake the rapture. But that's the one thing that they don't know is going to happen. That most certainly would kick things off, because when a rapture happens, God is removing his spirit. So we get into, before that happens, would there not be ways that God would draw people to him that don't know? Would there not be ways for that? Opportunities? Martyrs. That's my point. For the terrorists, they're saying, make your own, just kill them. But for God, when you know where you're headed, it's not a problem. The Christians in the Colosseums, they knew where they were going. Not a problem. Sure, they didn't want to die, but, I mean, who does, I guess. And certainly not being carried off by some big old kitty cat. Lion. But the body was left back and the soul left. Hey, see y'all later. The martyrs started causing people to convert. Kill two birds, one stone. Converting of the ones in the stands and bringing the Christians home. You see. Is that some way to look at it? People keep saying, when they come to my house, I'm going out shooting. Really. A lot of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and John Wayne. okay, fine. You go out shooting. Go out with a bang. Where's your soul going, though? That's something you got to talk about. You got to keep that in mind. All this bravado. Martyrism causes converts. That's why there's going to be martyrs in the fifth seal. It changed the whole culture back then. It started changing the whole culture. Adding people to the list to say, I want some of that. Other ways that he's going to bring people over is by the 144,000. Another way he's going to bring people over, and it's all mid-tribulation, by the way, is by the two witnesses. By the archangel flying over. So when the church is removed, there'll be ways that people can convert. Now there's discussion, admittedly. That once the rapture takes place, that's too late for anybody. That's up for discussion. That's up for discussion. But he wouldn't have them there for nothing. Two witnesses to bring the judgment upon Satan, his world system, just like Moses did with the Pharaoh. Let my people go. He put a plagues upon him. The plagues are coming back. He's got to reach the lost. He wishes that none would perish, but all would have. So there's four ways. The two witnesses, 144,000, an angel of the everlasting gospel, and a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or ways he'll reach people. Because he's definitely got their attention in the end times. Of that, there's no question. I don't think they'll be playing video games. Ha, no. Matter of fact, they'll be in a video game. It won't be video, it'll be real. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Revelation 14, verses 6 to 7. The angel will be preaching to every nation, tribe, tongue, people that are dwelling on the earth at the time. The last half of the tribulation. So if there's not some left yet of a remnant that rejected him, why would he have this angel flying toward the end? Unless there was an opportunity for someone to repent. He might actually start preaching at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, shortly after the church had been raptured. See, once the church had been raptured, what influence then would you have? There would be none. He wishes that none should perish but have everlasting life. So he would give others opportunities, but they have to make that personal choice. In the latter days, he says that God will be pouring out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. When this happens, people will be getting visions, dreams, and prophecies. And those from God, the Father himself, and people will be getting major supernatural activities from God during this time. Hadn't happened yet. Not on a massive scale. But at some point of this time, the sun will be turning to darkness, the moon turning to blood. Family, that's the sixth seal. Then he uses the phrase, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It means after. That's the beginning of the great tribulation, the first trumpet. He's going to try to pull in as many as he can before that day of the wrath of the seven bowls starts coming. Because it may be at that point in the seventh trumpet, and the seven bowls began, that there's no more. Family, the Metropolitans are going to come out. You see, they're going to use the gangs, multi-jurisdictional task force, the national police, etc., to wipe out those that, like in Rome. Then when they get wiped out or taken away or raptured, then they're going to start working on the Masons. And those gang members that worked on others, they're going to be worked on, taken out. Then they're going to whittle it down to the transhumanized supernatural army that Satan's got set up. But they don't know that yet. They're going to find out the hard way. You know what that's talked about? It's got it in the scriptures. Did y'all know that? It talks about it. It's a prophecy that God just threw in there. Kind of out of place. That's how he does it. Psalms 34:21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And add to it, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Servants, by the way. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. There you go. Evil shall slay the wicked. Isn't that an odd thing to say? And then comes out the Metropolitans to wipe out what's needed, what's left. And then comes God's wrath upon the supernatural, transhumanized army of Satan. You get the wrath of God on them. Those days will be shortened and no flesh will be saved. Oh, how about that? So Paul explains the event of the rapture. Then those who are alive remain shall be caught up. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And these words caught up, hepizo or raptere, translated from the Greek word, has one of its meanings, to snatch away or away speedily. Now, that word emphasizes a sudden nature of the rapture and twinkling of an eye. Matter of fact, it's exactly what he says in Corinthians. Paul does. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That means translated, DNA changed, eternal body. And we shall be changed. That's DNA changing. Now, when people see this, there'll be some more changing. They'll be changing their diaper. Because that's going to be a frightful thing to see. Scary for some people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. You know, Paul continues with this explanation. Then we who are alive, Enoch, Elijah, then we who are alive remain, shall be caught up together with them, the believing dead who've arisen, those in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. If we have not read about Enoch being taken up as alive, or Elijah being taken up as alive, Stephen died and was taken up, if we hadn't read about the others, we wouldn't really understand that. See how God does? He knew that that would happen. It's passed on by word of mouth to Noah. Noah passed it around the campfire. Here's what happened to your grandfather Noah. Your great-grandfather, Enoch. The Lord took him as he was. No book said that. It's passed down. Note here that Paul begins with the word then. which I'm not an English teacher by no stretch because I'm from the South. Yeah, well. But then, if you research it, study it, a word, it's an adverb. Indicates a sequence, if, then. Connects the previous events of the rapture that we've already talked about with the final event in a definite order of sequential unions. First, dead bodies reunited with their spirits. Spirits in heaven, bodies on the ground, or in a dust on the mantelpiece of somebody's mantle is cremation, or scattered in the ocean, or whatever, doesn't matter. God brings them back together. Resurrected believers reunited with living believers. Resurrected believers, raptured believers, meet with the Lord. Now, Paul points out here the ultimate consequence of this reunion with the Lord is that there will be no subsequent parting, no more. And after his return, the union and communion with him will be uninterrupted and eternal from that point on. Nobody going to be messing with you. You got the power. But through humbleness, meekness, just like Jesus. So that glorious fact alone by itself shows you why the word rapture is altogether an appropriate term for this particular event. So I've alluded to this word of being cremated. I know some families have, what are we going to do with him? I don't know. We're going to burn him? We're going to put him in the ground? I don't know. We've got to think about it. Think about what? Doesn't matter. If you cremate him, it's the same thing as being in the dirt for, or being in a casket for 50 years or 40. It's going to turn to dust. Scripture says the dead in Christ will rise. It's speaking of the bodily resurrection of all believers. Now, at this time, the spirits of the believers will be reunited. Spirits of believers will be united with their perfect and complete resurrection bodies, the same way that Jesus had his, same way as he saw Moses and, who was it, Moses and someone else, Jesus, Luke saw him, James and Peter saw Moses, Elijah, I believe it was, and Jesus in their glorified form. They must have made the toes curl. Complete resurrection body. You know, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, no exceptions. They get a head start. I guess they got further to go. Then we who are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine that kind of event? Will these people see it? Will you just disappear? And they say, where'd they go? I don't know. But you see it because you're there. I don't know. It really doesn't matter. I ain't going to get wrapped around the axle on that one. Thus you'll always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. Now, once the rapture takes place, what's going to happen in heaven after this rapture? What's going to happen after the rapture will come a judgment. The great white, judgment seat of Christ. Second Corinthians 5, verse 10. You'll come before judgment, the seed of Christ, one by one. 2 Corinthians 5:10, remember? The judgment seat is not about whether we'll enter heaven. You're already there, or you wouldn't be there in the first place if you weren't going. You'd still be in hell in your spirit form and soul, and your body be in the ground waiting at the end of the millennial reign. This will be a time to give an account of the works that you've done on earth, and you'll be rewarded accordingly. You'll be assigned places of authority in the coming millennium. And that's based on your faithfulness to God when we're here on earth, as well as the influence you left behind. That's different. You see, God had wanted to do that before Noah with the fallen angels, with the angels. After Noah, to guide man in what to do, how to make things, how to do things. But the angels then turned fallen. They lusted for the women there. They wanted that experience, you might say. They had free will, so they rebelled against God. Well, now he's got his own children, that be you, who's went through the fire, that be now, lasted to the end, that be at death or alive, depends when the rapture happens, and you survive to the end, you remain steadfast and loyal. He'll know, obviously. Then you'll come back. Then to lead those who's not been through the experiences you had, because you remember it. You'll have learned. So, can you imagine the special place of those who were disabled, that never had to have the temptations? They won't be disabled in heaven. All those that had disabled, mutated bodies won't have that in heaven. They haven't taken Jesus as Savior. I ain't even going to try to explain or even talk about that. I'm not qualified for that. That's God's business, how he offers it to those that are disabled, how he got to them to accept to reject. I don't know. I'm not even going to attempt to answer that one or even talk about it. That's way over my pay grade. That's God's business. But I'm sure he's fair about it. I'm sure he has a way that everybody gets the opportunity. You'll be assigned places of authority. This is what the Freemasons believe that's going to happen to them. By being a Freemason, they believe or told that they're going to have a place of authority because they're Freemason. Well, a problem resides there in that Freemasons worship Lucifer. Hey, big problem. The lower level Freemasons don't even know this till they get the 33rd degree or Shriner. Then they're told, oh, by the way, now that you're thoroughly brainwashed, we worship Lucifer. But, hold on, but Lucifer's a good guy, and Satan, well, don't tell anybody. Yeah, what? Well, Satan is Jesus. Say what? That's what they'll tell him. They'll use Isaiah 14:12, Luke 10:18, and Revelation 22:16. But in the corrupted Bibles, Isaiah 14:12, they call him the morning star fell. The morning star wanted to ascend above the Most High. When it should read Lucifer in the King James Bible. You see what they did? Oh, they're sneaky. When you read the King James, you'll know the truth. Lucifer is Satan. Jesus Christ is a bright morning star. Big difference. But the Freemasons, Rosicrucians, are trying to say that Satan is Lucifer. Satan is, Jesus. And that Lucifer is the enlightened one, is the one, the real God. That's their big secret. It's a big lie, too. As everybody does nowadays, the apostles asked Jesus about the end times. He told them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 1, 7, and verse 8. See, only God knows what time it is, and only God knows when these times will come out. God's calendar is the only one that matters. And it got nothing to do with feasts, all these blood moons, and I don't know what else they come up with. Well, God's got to come because this is the feast of the whatever it is. No, it don't. Doesn't say that in Scripture at all. Feast of the Tabernacles, that's the last one to come, is during the millennial reign. That's different. All these other feasts and all this, and no. Oh, he's going to come. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's going to come September something or another, 2015. Then they said 2017. Man, they can't make up their mind because they don't know. God's calendar is the only one that matters. 1 Thessalonians five, one and two. But of times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord as cometh as a thief of the night. Matthew 24:36. For that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore ye be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. And the Lord, in Matthew 24:50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of. And last but not least, Matthew 25:13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the man, Son of Man cometh. Man, he's making it clear there. You just don't know. But I want to write a book and do a CD and get on Sid Roth at Supernatural. For what? To tell him when the rapture is. Huh? Doesn't it tell you there? It's not, you're not going to know. But they do it anyway. Future truth impacts present responsibility. See, it's the knowledge is coming soon. It puts urgency in your step and your determination in your service. And desire to last to the end. And terror in the hearts of those who hate him. And fear in Satan. Because they don't know when it's going to happen. So, how do you think this hope of the rapture influences us even today? Paul wraps up the passage with an admonition. He says, where therefore comfort one another with these words. 4:18. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. He tells both the Thessalonians and the believers today, it's not enough to simply to passively understand about the rapture, about Christian death and resurrection. But this spurs us to another action, to comfort one another. Now, they want to take that comfort away. You're all going to die in Agenda 21. You're all going to die in World War III. You're going to die from Ebola. You're going to die from some meteorite coming in here and squishing you. Coffins down in Atlanta, Georgia. UFO death rays. Godzilla coming out of the ocean. Elmer Fudd clones are going to scream over the ocean, over the land. Elmer Fudd clones are going to attack America, whatever. Come up with all kinds of nonsense to cause fear in everybody. Fear does what? It creates a vibration, a frequency. Showing lack of faith. You know that woman that was healed? I forgot the name. It was in Jerusalem, I believe. I've mentioned this several times. You're like in a cloud of energy, if you will. I hate using that term. It's so new agey. But God knows the heart through the Holy Spirit. Because God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are all one. Whatever the Holy Spirit feels, Jesus is going to know. Whatever Jesus and the Holy Spirit knows and feels, God's already going to know. But they're all three one. It's a mystery in our heads. Well, that woman had so much faith. Faith. I've got faith. It's a frequency change. When she touched his robe, he felt that energy. He felt that frequency. When he felt that, equal faith, virtue came out of him into her and healed her. He felt that exchange of his power coming out to go to her. Who touched me? In Luke. Who touched me? It's like, we knew who touched you. Everybody's touching you. Patting you on the back. But they didn't have the frequency of faith. You see how that's strong at it? Technically, how did Jesus know? Because that frequency. It was true frequency. Remember they talked about the frequency of hate, frequency of lust. They can quantify that today scientifically. It's part of the makeup of this world. But mankind's got to create it through technology. Satan can can reproduce it to a certain point by supernatural. But God's already ahead of them. He can squash them just like that. Change the frequency, they're done. When believers suffer the loss of a family member or dearly departed one, you have in Paul's description of Christian death and resurrection that all that's needed to comfort one another in the losses, to comfort one another. See, Christian death is not permanent. It's merely a sleep. A time is coming when we and our loved ones will be reunited in a kind of a rapturous meeting. He'll call you out. Jesus Christ will call you out in that of this world or out of your graves to be with him forever. He came out of the grave. Lazarus came out of the grave. Enoch's body was changed. You see, it can be done. That's why Paul tells us that we should comfort one another with reminders, confirmation. Because sometimes we get lost in ourselves. And you know, when you follow his word and you learn about the New World Order 2 and all that stuff, man, your circle of friends gets small and smaller. Sometimes you wonder, maybe it's just me. Then God will send you confirmation. Somebody will be like you. Someone will know what you know. Someone will thank you for something you told them, or somehow you'll have, I don't know, comfort in some way, something you hear, something you see. That no, you're not crazy, but you know what's going on. What we call death is nothing more than a temporary sleep before you're called into uninterrupted relationship with Christ forever. Death, Christian death is not permanent, it's merely a sleep. But you're awake and alive in your spirit form with Jesus Christ, but not with a body. How's that work? I don't know. Now the entire world is going to hear the gospel before he returns. It's very important. He can come any time. How can this both be true? Well, first of all, He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. You've heard this dozens of times in preaching from people. But you may hear people say that the rapture cannot occur till the whole earth has heard the gospel. There's a woman on Oprah that goes after her. Does God want more of you to call him son Jesus or to be saved? She said, well, Oprah, God, Jesus, is not going to come until the gospel is preached in all four corners of the world. You got to preach the gospel to every creature so that the last person to be saved is brought into the kingdom. And then Jesus Christ will return to his church. But this cannot be true. If there's anything that's yet to happen before Christ's return, there's no such thing as imminent return of Jesus Christ. It's return soon. Because you're not going to know the day or the hour. The command to take the gospel in the whole world is pressing upon every generation until that generation shall not pass that's seen all these signs at one time in that generation. But the condition of the gospel going to the whole world is a condition not of the rapture, but of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the day of the Lord brings us to the tribulation that he will allow unrestrained evil. So the moment after this rapture, whenever it is, the Spirit of God will remove any restraining influence on earth. Evil will result in a climax of worsening conditions. Not a good time to be around. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to talk more about the rapture in the summary. More of a general summary and some more details through the evening. And a conclusion. But the conclusion will not have any kind of date. Don't even count on it. I'm even going to try one. Not even going to guess. Not my business. That's God's business. So, wow, that brought us right to 1 hour. Well, family, I want to remind you that we're played up in High Point Radio, highpointradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, and he has sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and go on his website, highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net, and check out his sponsors and give him a good word. Go use them if you can. If you live in those three states. If you live in one of the three states. My website is Watchman for Jesus. And my Facebook is, well, I got it backwards. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And, well, there is my commercial. That's it. I never could bring myself at one day, the days I was in the networks to sell gold and all that stuff. I never got into that. Had no desire to do that. They tried to get me to do it in the worst way, but I said, I just played Columbo on them and said, I can't do it. I don't know what you're talking about. Actually, I didn't, but I wasn't very cooperative. I just couldn't do it because I knew they were going to take the gold away. I'm going to put it in Switzerland. You are. Oh, so when they take the money away and all that, you're going to get your rowboat and row up to Switzerland, huh? And you're going to go in the bank and just say, and get a wheelbarrow and carry it back and what, a dinghy? Come on now. Computers will be down. They'll block them off. Family, it's not about the physical world we're talking here now. We're talking about eternity. And when you go poof, you're not taking any money with you. It's all going to be down here. It's going to stay here. Render to Caesar, which is Caesar, unto God, which is God's. They want it, they're going to get it. So, well, anyway. So tomorrow night, we'll talk about the rapture. We'll talk some more about the day of the Lord, because it goes right hand in hand. And so, I appreciate y'all coming by in this Bible study. Keeps me going. Watching the signs of the times. And really, to me, it's a little mind-boggling because I see them actually happening. I mean, they're actually taking place. You know, the little things like, you know, the microchips and the marijuana being legalized. I mean, see little things. This is how it's taking place. It's all connected together. Everything is connected together. And it follows a checklist, actually. So it's really no surprise. We'll go close in prayer. And family, we'll move right along. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together. Giving us this network that we can worship you and have study. Lord, guide us in your power, your Holy Spirit, to give us discernment and wisdom. And Lord, to give us an opportunity to spread the word to others. We pray for our families. We pray for those that need healing. We pray for the opportunities we can to carry out the Great Commission. We ask you, Lord, to protect our veterans and children from the effects of these drugs, vaccinations, and all the like. And Father, to bring them out of this, that they'll hear the gospel, so that they'll make the decision to convert before that day the Lord comes. We thank you, Lord, for the protection you've given us all this time, that we not take it for granted. And Lord, you're there always. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, I'm not a theologian, but I have to improvise, and I'll do the best I can with what I got. And I never thought in a million years, being in the Marine Corps and anti-terrorism and all that, I'd be doing a ministry on the radio. Last thing in my mind ever. People that knew me in the past would have thought that the last thing they ever thought, too. Ha! To say the least. Okay. So, family, y'all have a good night. God bless you. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4. Oh, I'm going to hit the ground running, too. I'm going to chock full you. A lot of stuff. Chock full of information tomorrow night, too. In the broadcast. And then next week, I'm going to work into the extraterrestrial deception and lie that they've set up. And we'll expose that next week. Have a good night. God bless you. Drive safe if you're not driving. Sleep well if you're staying at home. And we'll see y'all tomorrow night at 4 o'clock. The Watchman for Jesus program. Have a good night. God bless. This is your Watchman, Thomas Gamble, signing off.
From the skies, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
with you every day to the end.